Be the plot twist in your own story. You've been reading the most amazing book, and so far, you feel fairly confident you know what's going on with the plot and the characters. Not that this storyline is boring, or you can easily predict how the story is going to end, but you feel comfortable putting the book down for a minute and knowing what's going on without having to go back and reread parts again. When I don't feel like, I don't know, challenging myself or being forced to pay close attention, I love picking up one of my favorite romance novels and losing myself in the simple boy meets girl drama, with the obvious plot structure because it follows the romantic trope. I know, right? I'm not surprised when the old girlfriend comes back and throws a monkey wrench into the newly forming love affair, nor am I shaken to my core when the hero walks away and leaves the sweet girl because he thinks that she's going to be better off without him. Tropes are great for easy reading. When I just want to escape the everyday life of being Ella. But what about when my own life seems to be following some type of trope? What about when your life seems to be following some type of trope? Yeah, we'll talk about it. Hi, I'm Ella Shawn, reluctant romance writer and host of Enchanted Beast Podcast. Welcome to the Enchanted Forest. Hello, my Enchanted Beast. How are you? Oh my gosh. So I'm totally stoked about this week's podcast, mostly because I kind of took a mini break. And so I decided that in the month of November, I was only going to do two podcasts, one every other week. So the first week of November, I introduced the theme of reincarnation, and we talked all about that. And I was so excited about it, and I've been kind of working on doing that whole thing, right? And so this week I decided I wanted to kind of wrap up the month of November, my birth month, talking about plot twist. I know, because you're looking around as you're driving or sitting in your bedroom, cleaning your nails. I don't know what you're doing when you're listening to my podcast, but right now when I just said, you know, plot twist, you're probably like, what the hell, Ella? Stay with me. So the idea is being a plot twist. I'm a writer. That's my first job, right? That's my first job. I am a writer. I write romance. And so I also write a blog for my author's blog. And so to kind of streamline my work, I get on similar topics. I know. Work smart, not hard, right? So anywho, I am like looking at plot twists and how we effectively use them in writing, but how sometimes writers don't effectively use them, and they're not plot twists at all because they leave so many hints and clues. It's just kind of like, I knew that was coming, right? So I thought, you know, on my writer's blog, I talked about how to really effectively implement plot twists so that your reader will be left with the, well, damn, I didn't see that coming response, right? And then I started thinking about my Enchanted Beast podcast and reincarnation and plot twist. Our lives are a story, right? We are writing our story every second of the day. Why are we not implementing this literary element of plot twist? We need them, right? We need plot twist. So I thought, I want to talk about this. I want to talk to my beast about what it is to become the plot twist their life story needs. But first, you have to know what a plot twist is, right? Again, mostly it's for me. I need a plot twist. Like, I feel I need a plot twist in my own personal life right now. So, this is me working out how in the hell to write a good plot twist for me, for my life. So, what is a plot twist? A plot twist is simply a literary element. It's a term, it's an element used to describe when a surprise development takes place somewhere in the story or novel. The reader, maybe even the characters, have absolutely no idea that something was going to happen, but all of a sudden, boom, it's there. So plot twists are used to add drama, they add suspense, they speed up the plot, or they can slow it down, right? But mostly they are used to keep and maintain the reader's interest. Writers use plot twists to keep your eyeballs glued to the words on the pages of your book or your Kindle or your Nook or your iPad, right? Effectively used, most plot twists are the part in the book where the reader is saying, what? I was not expecting that. Shut up. But it's also the part that leaves you feeling like, oh, I'm so very glad. I'm so very glad it happened though. Right? Because that's what plot twists do. They shock you, and then they leave you feeling like you want more. So we need to be our own plot twist. We have to learn how to be our own plot twist. So the first question I have to ask you is very simple. Are you still interested in reading your own story? Have you ever taken a step back from your own life? Like really, just kind of removed yourself from your day-to-day life and take a look at it as if it were someone else's. If you do, I do this a lot because I do. Just take a step back, look at my life, and then I'm like, you know what? Nothing surprising has happened in quite a while. Like, I pretty much expected everything that's happened, I expected it to happen. No new developments over here. Everything is going as it always does. I mean, nothing is broken. Okay? Nothing's wrong, nothing's broken. But nothing is changing or moving either. You know exactly what's up on Tuesday because why? Tuesday's Taco Tuesday. You know, you have your little girls' dance class until 6 p.m. on Tuesday night. You know you're going to go home, take the laundry out of the washer, put it in the dryer after you take the other laundry out of the dryer to be folded. You know that at some point on Tuesday, you have to wash the baseboards down in the kitchen because it's Tuesday, Taco Tuesday. But there's this kind of feeling, right? There's this feeling. It's nothing that, you know, we can put our finger on. We can't point to it and say, oh yeah, it's that thing. This thing is missing from my Tuesday. We can't really say that. But there is something missing. Maybe not from your Tuesday. Maybe your Tuesday's great. I don't know. But from life in general, there is something missing. And I know what you guys are thinking. The grass is always greener on the other side. But you don't know what they're doing to make it green. You don't know what they're sacrificing. So, water your own grass and shut it up. I know. I get it. If there's nothing wrong, then don't look for a reason to complain. I know. And I'm not looking for a reason to complain. I'm not looking even to water my grass because it's not green. That's the thing. We have green grass. We have, you know, Taco Tuesday. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's broken. There's nothing out of whack, but you have to stop sometimes. Pull yourself out of everything and then look from the outside and there's nothing happening either. Yes, my grass is green, but it's not growing. It's just green. Yes, Taco Tuesday is great, but it's every Tuesday we have tacos. There's nothing happening. I haven't had a moment in a very long time where I went, oh my God, I wasn't expecting that. If that is a truth, then, you know, that's it. I've told myself the same thing. Stop looking for trouble, Ella. You go looking for trouble. You go looking to find something wrong. And of course, you're going to find it. But here's the reality. Nothing is permanent. Our stories are not written in concrete. It is always ever evolving because we are always evolving. Every time I get that restless feeling bubbling up inside of me, it kind of makes me feel like I have whole body restless leg syndrome. My clothes feel weird. I can't find a comfortable way to sleep or sit or stand. My hair doesn't look right. It doesn't matter what I do. The food I eat doesn't taste yummy. It's just not satisfying me. Like something is off. That full body RLS feeling is just, ugh. What is it that I'm looking for? What do I need? Now, as a writer, when I get to this point in a book and things are chugging along and things are great and the characters are meshing and the plot is like banging and nothing's wrong with it. Nothing's wrong with it. And I go back and I'm reading and I'm like, it's good. But I haven't gotten that kind of, ooh, what? That was, oh my God, I was not looking for that to happen. Like when I can't find that kind of, you know, exuberance, that kind of joy as I'm reading through what I'm like, oh yeah, I need to throw something in here. I need to mess some things up, shake some shit up for my characters. I need a plot twist. I need an unexpected development. Something that is going to come right out of left field and nobody was looking for it to happen. Not me, not the reader, not the characters, not Jesus. Nobody thought it was going to happen. I need that so that I can continue on with the story. This is what I recognize, in my own life. Like, nothing's wrong, but nothing's moving. Nothing's developed that I didn't know was going to develop. I need a plot twist. I need that unexpected development to take place in my life. Something to set my soul on fire. Something just for my own personal benefit. That's what I need, because nothing is permanent in my life. Everything is constantly changing, evolving. And when things aren't evolving, then they're doing one of two things. They are devolving, which means they're going backwards, and we don't do that. Or they're stagnant, which means they're not moving. And we don't do that. So we have to be willing to kind of say, I need to spice some stuff. So what am I looking for? What plot twist is going to get my story going? Okay, here's the word that popped up first in my mind. Tribe. I need a tribe. And you guys know what tribe is, right? So we've been using this word for a long time to talk about it, or to talk about the people we choose to have in our lives, because we share common ideas and we have commonalities and this, that, and the third. And so I was like, yeah, that's what I need. I need a tribe, because I have grown quite a bit in the last 6 years. Since being diagnosed with lupus and subsequently everything else that happened, and I started to ask the universe to remove any and everything from my life that would be a detriment to me spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. Remove it from my life. I don't care what it was. The first thing that went was my job. And I said, okay, fine, I'll accept that. The second thing that went was my big house. I said, fine, I don't need a big house. The third thing that went was my big truck. I said, good, I don't really need a big truck. And then things just kept being removed from my life. And I said, fine, I will willingly accept, universe, anything you remove from my life that is designed to be a detriment to my mental, spiritual, physical, or emotional self, right? And so when all the things were taken away, then I kind of lost the taste for meat, and then I started losing the taste for seafood, and now I'm a vegetarian. I don't like sweets, and I gave up sodas. And so, Fine. Take all the yummies from me. That's cool. So again, I willingly accept it. And then I noticed that I didn't have as many text messages coming into my phone. And I didn't have as many invites for lunch or play dates with my girls. And by this time my girls were slightly older. I still had one in elementary school, but I didn't have as many people in my life. And I said, oh, okay, I'll accept that. Remove anything that is a detriment to my spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical health. And so I have about two or three people that I kick it with right now. in my life. And that's cool. I've talked about that before, but I still felt like, I need a tribe. So I go out there and I'm thinking, this is what I need. But I have a word nerd girl moment because, well, who am I? Elishan, word nerd girl. And I'm looking up the word tribe because I want to spend some time with it if I'm going to say that this is the plot twist I need, then I want to spend some time with it, right? I want to dig in a little deeper with it. And so, as I'm digging into the word tribe, it left kind of a bitter taste on my tongue. I've always used it again to express the sense of belonging I get when I'm around like-minded people I choose to vibe with, right? But the more and more I dug into the word, the more I remembered why one of my undergrad professors, y'all, this was the sexiest white man I've ever seen in life. He was a complete silver fox. But it's not like he was old. I don't know why he was silver, but I don't know, maybe he was old. He was so good looking. He had like all this beautiful silver hair. Oh, like a Saint-Tropez tan. And his hair was like cut short on the sides and in the back, but it was longer on the top and it was still thick, right? And just silver. But what made me kind of lust after him a lot? He had the craziest silver beard. Like, this was way back in the early 90s, okay, when I was in undergrad. And he wore this, like, scraggly beard. It was just all silver, but it was really kind of, it was thick, but it was coarse. Not like the hair here. I mean, it was just like, and anyway, Lordy, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of hoped that his office hours were code for bend you over the desk and fuck you to an A in this history of African colonization class. It wasn't. He was on the up and up. He was so beautiful, though, like just crazy beautiful. But anywho, I digress. But see, what made him so angry, that's what I was talking about. What made him so angry about the word tribe, because he lived and worked alongside one specific ethnic group in Zimbabwe, and he spent like 40 years of his life. He grew, literally grew up with this ethnic group, so much so he had to go through all of their rites of passages, and he was a member of this ethnic group. And so, but he was so angry because tribe is one of those words that delineates groups of marginalized people into the set of other, less than, inferior. It is a colonial word. And I thought back to him as I was delving into this word, and I'm like, no, I don't want tribe. And I know it seems a little bit like, okay, you're splitting hairs here, but I'm not, because language is so very powerful. And what we speak, we need to speak with intention. And the intention behind the word tribe is to denigrate and separate those who are considered less than or inferior to anything coming out of Europe. And I said, no. That's not my intention. That's not what I'm looking for. So I had to reevaluate. Now I'm just sitting here thinking about his eyes. Y'all, they were so blue. They looked like the ocean. That was forever ago. I'm sure he's dead now, but oh my, he was so, he'd wear jeans every day and a button-down shirt. We only had him for one semester, because he was going back home, going back to Africa. Zimbabwe, and he rolled his shirt up, and he had like really sexy forearms. Oh my God, he was so great. Anyway, I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. What was I talking about? Well, I don't want to try because that intention is not. Here is what came to me. I'm no longer looking for a tribe. What I need is, what I want is a collective. I want a collective. I like that because it feeds into my understanding of the universe and how she works through our collective unconscious to bring about collective conscious. So it works. I need a collective. And so, you know, I was gonna get my word nerd girl moment in here. You know that. Come on. But it's not gonna go that deep. I just kind of looked it up and chose some of the synonyms, all right? It's like a collaborative, combine, common, communal. All these words go with collective. It's cool that most of them are C's, cooperative, joint, multiple, mutual, pooled, public, shared, united, conjoint, conjunct. So fine, all these synonyms work for me as far as defining what a collective is, like in terms of a broad idea. Right? However, what I'm hoping to find is more than simply a group of people who are willing to collaborate and combine what they have in common for the communal good, and make concerted efforts to conjoint and conjunct. Well, you get the picture. I already have a family. I already have a couple of people I kick it with. Like, I get that. No, I don't want that. I am missing a collective, a group of people who share a common understanding of how the world works and how they work within and throughout the world. They, as in collective. I highlighted a few words. Group, common understanding within, throughout. Group, common understanding within, throughout. That's the collective I'm looking for. I'm looking for a group of people who share a common understanding of how the world works. And as important, or maybe more importantly, they know how they work within and throughout the world. They, as in the collective, us, we know how the world works. We know how we work within and throughout the world. What does this collective look like, Ella? What does it look like? Okay. I'm gonna give you the words. I'm not going word nerd girl on you. I just took the word collective and decided, what is it that I want in these group of people? What is it that I understand about the world? What is it that I understand about how the world works and how I am to work within and throughout the world? Because that's it, right? Like, this is what I understand about the world and how it works, and this is what I understand about how I work within and throughout the world. Ergo, the collective that I will find will have this same understanding because we are a group of people who share a common understanding. So this is what I understand about the world and how it works and how I work within and throughout the world. So if this is what I understand, then when I find my collective, this is also what they will understand, because that's the whole thing of being in a collective. So I understand that compassion is needed. If the world is going to work, then there must be compassion. There is no time for anger, for fear, for guilt, for sorrow, for shame, none of that. There is compassion. We have to find compassion within and throughout ourselves and in the world. There must be optimism. No negative Nancys, no negative Neds. We don't have time for negativity. We don't have time for low vibratory vibes. We don't have time for that shit. We need optimism. Raise the vibration. Look at the world half full. Right? Optimism. We need to be free. We need to be liberated. We need to be liberated from pretty much every institution that tries to tell us who, what, when, where, why we are. We need to have liberated minds, liberated bodies. Most importantly, we need to be liberated spiritually. We need to all be connected to our beast. We need to be loyal. We need to be loyal to our truth, to our beliefs, to what we know. We need to be loyal to our understandings and to our goals and our hopes. We need to be loyal to our beast and move when she tells us to move. Like, loyalty is important. We are to be Epicureans. What? I was doing good. I had compassion. I had the optimism. I got liberated when you broke it down. I got what? Epicureans. The Greek god of pleasure. The soul is here for its own joy. Thank you, Rumi. I freaking love Rumi. The soul is here for her own joy. We need to be seekers of pleasure. If it doesn't bring pleasure, why are we doing it? If it doesn't make you happy, why are you in it? We need to seek pleasure in all things. How we live, what we say, when we eat, when we have sex, when we're in communication. We need to seek pleasure. Live as an Epicurean. Confidence. That is a must. We have to move in the world confidently, knowing what we know, honoring what we are. Transcendent. We are in this world, but not of this world, right? We are in this space, but not of this space. We are here to transform this space, not become a part of it. So we must transcend, rise above all these weird limitations that we tend to adopt, and we must transcend so that we're able to transform. You can be in it and not be of it so that you can transform it. We are to illuminate. That's what we are. We are illuminating beings. We are here to shed light where there is darkness and to grow darkness where it is too bright. Yes, darkness is a revelation in itself. You cannot see the stars at night if the sun is out. Darkness is also there to reveal. It isn't bad. So we are illuminators. When light needs to be shined, that's what we do. But when darkness needs to prevail, to reveal, then that's what we do. We are visionaries. Yes, everybody can look out into the world and see that it is FUBAR right now. Every leader in the world, for the most part, is completely off their ass. And you're like, wait, what's happening? Why are all these leaders in all of these major countries, why are they all of a sudden saying climate change isn't happening? Let's cut down all the forests. Let's destroy more of the earth. Why are they lying so much? Why is there so much corruption in the government all over the world? Why are there so many people dying from dysentery? Why are there so many people starving to death? Why is everything so messed up right now? Yes, anybody can look out into the world and see how jacked up it is. But the collective that I am hoping to find, forget hoping, the collective that I am finding, that I am going to find, we are visionaries. We see beyond this. It's not what is, it is what will be. That we have a common understanding of is that we can visualize what can be and then bring that visualization into reality, because why the hell not? That's how the universe created everything. And are we not of the universe? Yes. The first law of the universe is mentalism. Everything is mental. Everything starts with the mind. So we are visionaries. We see not what is, but what could be. And that is what we seek to create. Lastly, we are engaged. And here's the thing about being engaged. And I'm not talking about put a ring on it. No, here's the thing about being engaged. When you are engaged, you are present. You are in that moment. You are paying attention to what is, because what was, can't do shit about it. What will be, we don't know. We're not there yet. But what is, that we can focus on. And when you're engaged, you don't have time to be upset about something that happened 2 weeks ago and lament over it. And when you're engaged, you don't have time to be anxious about what might happen 2 weeks from now, because right now you're in this moment and you're optimistic. You're seeking pleasure in this moment. In this enchanted moment, you are present and engaged. So what am I looking for? I'm looking for a group of people who share a common understanding of how the world works and how they work within and throughout the world. What's that common understanding, Ella? We understand that the world works just as we work within and throughout it, using compassion, being optimistic, staying liberated, practicing loyalty, being epicurious, rolling with confidence, understanding our transcendent nature, being the illuminaries that we are designed to be, focusing on the vision, being visionaries, and staying engaged in the now. That's my collective. That's what's missing. That's what's causing me to have full body restless leg syndrome. I need a collective who gets this, who knows exactly how the world works, who understands how we as a collective work within and throughout that world. Because here's the kicker about being a part of a collective. It's not a lot of us. A collective is a small group of people, but an extremely powerful group of people capable of bringing about vast amounts of change in the world. I need a collective. And so I was like, cool. I need a collective. I get it. So that's what's missing, right? I figured that out. And these are the questions we have to ask ourselves. What the hell is missing? Because when nothing looks like it's missing, but you know something's missing, that's the hard part. You know, right? It's kind of like you order a pizza, and it's the same pizza you always get, and it has everything you always get on it, and you take a bite, and you're like, wait. Something's missing from this pizza. Did you put the pepperoni on first? Yes. And you also did the right sauce. I didn't want the robust. I wanted the more sweeter. Yes. Okay. Did you do the garlic rub on the crust? Yes. Okay. So it's something missing. Did you drizzle the extra virgin olive oil and the aged balsamic vinegar? Just before you put the cheese on top? No. Okay. Something. Because you know, right? You know when something's missing. So ask yourself what's missing. Do the work. Find out what you need, right? Find out what's missing. Once you do that, now it's time to really, really decide, you know, what type of plot twist you want to be. What kind of plot twist do you want to be? All right. Literature writer. There are a lot of different plot twists. So I pulled about 10 from several different resources that I have, and I'm going to share them with you. Why? Because they're funny, number one. And B, why not? You might learn something. So, the first one I'm going to share with you is a red herring. And the red herring is like, it sounds so crazy, but it's kind of like the whodunit, right? It's like when you have the, my daughter, I gave my daughter a clue game for her birthday, and we got all dressed up and went downtown, and we had the app on the phone, and we had all these clues, and they were pointing to one specific person, and we had to figure out who done it, right? And so a red herring is when all the clues point to one person, but really it's someone you never would suspect. Like, they have absolutely nothing to gain by killing this person, so why would they even be a suspect? And they just, they're helpful, but you know, not too helpful. They're kind of a major role, but not really. They show up every now and again. So who cares? You don't really pay attention to them at all until you do. And by that time, they've killed somebody and the jig is up, right? So that's the red herring. And honestly, I'm not into pointing fingers at other people. You know, they may have done it. This person did that. You didn't say anything about why they were wearing that. No, I don't have time for that. So the red herring wouldn't work for me. But if it's something that might work for you as a plot twist, like, you know, then maybe that's something you could kind of figure out if what you need goes along with the red herring. Chekhov's gun. Basically, every detail matters. Now, I love this in a writing. I love this for writing because it's like, as a writer, you leave these tiny little hints all throughout your work. they all seem insignificant, like the color of a flower, the pen that was used, the way the young man looked at the woman, the word Cristobal that was used. And no, people don't pay attention. People don't pay attention to tiny details at all. But then, when everything is revealed and the plot twist happens, the mind automatically connects all those dots and it's like, holy shit, I did not see that coming. What? I love that. I love that. And sometimes life happens that way for us. You know, we get the plot twist where, and these aren't ever really good, right? These are the plot twists that make you go, oh my God, I didn't see that. I didn't see it coming at all. Usually that's the kind that, you know, your man's cheating on you and you have to get a divorce and you're like, I didn't even pay attention to this, that, and the third. So yeah, those are maybe flashback. I hate flashback. I like flashback sometimes, but not a lot, because everybody uses flashback. And so how much can you look back over your life and learn? Are there lessons in our past? Maybe. But are we going to learn them in our present by looking back into our past? I'm going to say no. Because your memory is only a memory of the last time you remembered something. So what you're looking at is a fabrication of something that happened. So I look back there at all, right? There's several more here. Deus ex machina, God in the machine. This one's like, there's no reason for anything great to happen. This mom has, she's a single mom. She has like 7 kids. She's completely poor, getting ready to be evicted. She's had horrible man after horrible man, and literally 7 kids ages, you know, 3 months to, you know, to 8 years old. So, and she is just, there's nothing good in this woman's life. And all of a sudden she's on the corner of the road or on the corner of the street with her 7 kids in tow and their little plastic bags of barely enough clothes, and a lottery ticket blows her way. She goes into the nearest gas station, scratches off the numbers, and boom, she's a multi-cajillionaire, and life could not be better. Like, it's the big boon, and it does make absolutely no sense. None at all. This is great for comedies. Our lives are not a comedy. And although we all want something like that to happen, like literally I have been saying, okay, universe, go ahead and drop this on me right now. Thank you. Law of attraction. It's just, it's not, I, you know, I don't know. I don't know. But there is one that I really, really love. And this is the plot twist that I'm going to be in my life. And obviously, look, I can't hardly even pronounce it. Thank you, Aristotle. I went online and plugged it into dictionary.com so that I could get the pronunciation of it. But this plot twist is called, I don't even want to attempt it. It's Anagnorisis. There. Anagnorisis. This is where the protagonist has a new understanding of their identity, who who they are internally is the twist. The twist happens internally. It's not something outside of the protagonist that makes the protagonist go, damn, I didn't see that coming. No, it is an internal shift, a new understanding of who they are, how they are, why they are. These are my favorite plot twists. Because the character arc is so profound. Their growth is so redemptive. But it can't be obvious. Right? It can't be so obvious that whoever this character was prior to this, you know, Anagnorisis plot twist happening, is no longer there, and they're like, oh, 180. But there is a difference in how this character understands themselves. It's a difference in how they relate to the world around them. Not enough that everybody notices it. Not enough that anybody notices it, really, but enough that they notice, and the people who love and are closest to them, their collective, they notice it. This is my plot twist. This is the plot twist I am going to be in my life. Anagnorisis. I don't think I'm saying it right. Anagnorisis. Who knows? That's what I'm going to be. A switch that happens internally. So, Ella, thank you for the literary lesson. Thank you for, you know, the word nerd girl. What the hell do they have to do with each other? An anagnorisis. How does the anagnorisis fit with finding a collective? All right. Whew. It's time to bring this thing home. I'm glad you asked. Remember when I asked if your life story was still interesting for you to read? With you as the lead, the protagonist, the heroine, the hero, is it still holding your attention, making you want to stay up late with a flashlight, under the covers, sneaking so you can read, turning page after page after page to see what's going to happen next? Are you excited about the story of your life? Are you hoping, like hell, that there's a sequel? That maybe your life is a series and not just a standalone novel? Is that how good it is that you're like, I'm going to have to write a whole series. This is like a 10-part series. If you can't, you know, be that excited that you want a series, right? Because that series is like, I want to come back. Not because I have karmic crap to account for. I'll talk about that later. No, I got shit to do. I'm excited about everything that I have to do. If you can't answer that affirmatively, right? If your answer is no to any of those questions, then it's time for a plot twist. You have to understand that, right? So what does the plot twist and finding a collective have to do with each other? You can't choose the right plot twist if you don't first know who and why you are. And you can't know who and why you are, right? You can't know these things about yourself if you're with the same people every day. Or if you spend most of your time alone, right? We are not meant to be an island. We are not meant to be with the same people. Like, we are not meant to be secluded. We need a collective because they act as a spiritual, mental, emotional, and yes, even a physical mirror within and throughout. It's the only way we can truly see ourselves. Just as we are the only way that the universe can truly see herself. She sees who she is throughout and within because of us. And we are no different. Wait, one cotton picking minute here. Oh, wait, hold on. I'm having a moment. One, November's theme is reincarnation. Reincarnation is the embodiment of the soul into different bodies again and again, right? The embodiment of God, us, soul, God. Okay, so the reincarnation is the embodiment of the soul into different bodies over and over again. Reincarnation happens for three reasons. We talked about this, right? You have lessons to learn, you have karmic debt to pay, and of course, the soul hasn't realized its own divinity. Okay, so here are my questions. If a tree falls in the forest and there's no one to hear or witness it, did it really happen? If the universe is in existence and there is no one there to hear or witness it, does she really exist? If I exist and there is no one here to hear or witness it, do I even exist? Stay with me. We are the hearers and witnesses to the universe's existence. She knows that she exists because we exist. However, in order for us to hear and bear witness to her, we must first learn to hear and bear witness to ourselves. How do we do that? We can't do it on our own because nothing exists in the void. And although you may have family and you may have friends, if they are not a part of your collective, then you are in the void. Holy shit. Oh my God. Okay. So I'm working this out. For us to hear and bear witness to ourselves, we must find and learn to empathetically hear and bear witness to our collective. We have to find and learn to hear and bear witness with empathy to our collective self, that collective that we're looking for, I'm looking for, that collective that I'm looking for, it is a part of my collective self. And if I am not with my collective, goosebumps, I have chill bumps everywhere. If I'm not with my collective, then I am in a void. And that restless leg, full body symptom thingy I'm feeling where nothing feels right, it is because I am questioning my true existence. Am I here? I haven't found my collective yet. Well, damn. I did not see that coming. If you guys are only listening to the podcast, I wish you could see my face. Oh my God, I did not see that coming. I didn't see it coming. I really didn't. I had no idea how in the hell it was going to get wherever it was going. I didn't even know where it was going. I didn't know where I was going with this whole plot twist thing. Y'all. I mean, y'all, come on. The universe is unable to see herself except through us. We are unable to truly see ourselves except through our collective. And we need the collective so that we can bear witness to each other and our collective self, thereby each collective bears witness to the universe, allowing her to see an aspect of who she is. Not in a single person, but in the collective self. That is my understanding. I am looking to find my collective. I'm looking to find my collective self so that the universe can see that aspect of who she is in us and the work she wants us to carry out for her. I didn't see that coming. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I didn't see it coming. Be the plot twist of your story. Be willing. Be open to, be accepting, be ready for a surprise development, something to set your soul on fire, something that benefits only you. Guys, I did not see that coming. I set out to get myself a plot twist, and damn it, I got it. I got my plot twist. That's crazy. Until next time, be brave, be beautiful, and be enchanting. Goodbye.
This has been Ella Shawn with Enchanted Beast Podcast. Thank you for joining, and remember, stay enchanted.